Willkommen im Sessionable Podcast. Ich bin Tom und mit mir sind Adrian.
Hallo.
Und Brad.
Ja.
Danke, Tom.
Bitte.
No, it's a Gosa we're drinking.
Okay.
Ouch. Terrible.
That pun was the sausage.
Oh, God.
Sessionable.
For those who don't speak German, welcome to Sessionable. If you might not have guessed by now, we are doing a German-themed episode today.
Loosely, it seems, because our first beer is neither German nor really something that would actually be allowed in Germany.
Mm.
But it's based on a German style, at least.
Yeah, so we're drinking the Anderson Valley Briny Melon Gosa at the moment.
Which is really tasty.
Delicious.
I've not had it before. I was pretty taken aback with that first sip. It's a massive flavour.
Yeah, and it's...
I mean, you know how I love my watermelon beers. So this is right up my alley.
This one, it does kind of taste like a salty watermelon warhead.
Yeah.
Which I guess is what it is. Yeah. Like, I wonder if they've got the coriander in there as well, or if it's just the watermelon, the salt, and the... doesn't say.
So do ghosts usually have coriander?
I think it's usually salt and coriander. Okay. In most of the Leipziger ghosts that I had when I was in Leipzig, I think it was both salt and coriander.
So do they still get the saltiness from the water that they use, or do they
I think it's now added for the most part. But they still make them, and they're pretty tasty over there.
Cool.
I've been really quite impressed with just how many Gosas and Berliner Weisses and other kind of like sour beers are on the market in Australia. And that's like, we've done a few sour episodes, right?
At least one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going off right now.
Hmm. Yeah, it's blown up, yeah. I mean, some of the breweries that have really been taking it forward, Batch in particular, have started to do some really interesting styles.
Yep.
There
was the Doctor's Orders... Bridge Road
SF series, yeah.
Hashtag Brig Mag the Pod.
So maybe we could talk about probably some of the ones that are around and what we like and what's been tasting good. I think the watermelon warhead that's been floating around, the one that's becoming regular, is just so tasty.
Oh, it's so sour.
It is. It's just so, but it's still like super melony.
Yep,
and it's so easy to drink. I finished a shift the other day, and it was that or former tenant were my two options for my staffie, and that's a Sophie's Choice level work, you know.
Yeah.
But
Sophie's Choice was like a bad choice, whereas this is a good choice.
Ones, yeah. So which one I don't drink is
yeah,
the bad
yeah,
one,
I right? guess, I guess. I think when we had it on tap at Camaray, I'm pretty sure I drank like half the keg because it wasn't super popular with like the non-geeks.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Yeah.
I just have it with like, you know, I just have it as staff drinks every night.
I mean, we obviously love it, right? And we'll migrate to it. Every time I walk into a place, I will go, like, oh, Warhead's on. I'll start with that.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It just takes this decision away that's what you have, right? But I've noticed in some places where it's been on that it does kind of stick around for a while. And, you know,
I mean,
it's not for everybody, certainly.
We go through kegs pretty quickly at the Albert.
Yeah.
But I think our kind of... you know, clientele is people who will drink it. I was actually super surprised by the kind of the variety of people who were ordering it. You know, it wasn't just your beer nerds, which is awesome.
Yeah, I've noticed that the uptake for interesting sours, especially the lighter ones like Gosas and Berliner Weisses, have been more and more to the casual crowd rather than just the geeks. But,
which is awesome. I think.
But it's still like mostly geeks that are drinking it.
Yeah.
Can't really talk about sours personally without mentioning Wayward Sourpuss. It's probably the beer I've had most over the last 3 or 4 months.
What would that be?
Yeah, I don't know. I just seem to see it around quite a lot. I don't know what it is.
It's in your local area for some reason.
Yeah. Well, we're at Brad's apartment now, and there's a zip line from his balcony down to the brewery. So
I'm sure we'll pop our heads in after this. Yeah,
I'm sure that's exactly what's going to happen.
But the Sourpuss kind of came out, and it tasted great. And then they brewed a second batch, and it was even more sour.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've just about released their third batch of it. And it's tasting great, absolutely great. You know, you get that kind of tartness from the raspberry, and like I say, the second batch was really quite pungently sour. And you know, that was good as far as I was concerned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got I just had the Two Birds Peachy Keen.
I've not had that.
Mm. Yeah. It's bright pink.
Yep.
It's peach and hibiscus. So kettle sour. It's not super sour, but it is sour enough. But I found that a great gateway for people for sour beers.
I think another one worthy of mention is the Dolly Aldrin, the Yulee's beer, which has probably been the most impressive Yulee's beer I've had.
Yeah.
The first batch of that was super sour, and I think they've kind of dialed it down a bit.
It's pretty fruity now.
Yeah, it's a lot more kind of accessible these days, which makes sense for what they are, for what Yulee's are. But yeah, the first time it came out, we had it on tap, and it was like close to Warhead level.
Yeah, awesome. Nice.
pH 1.
Yeah.
Really sour.
We're obviously having a Californian one, so I think you're also seeing a lot more international examples of the style come into Australia and be popular. Yep. I think.
Look, there's three different of the Anderson Valley ones, and at least two of them come in cans, I think. I'm not sure if the Briny Melon one does.
No, I don't think that one does.
So we're drinking it out of a bomber at the moment. But yeah, the plain Gosa and the Blood Orange Gosa both come in cans.
Love that Blood Orange.
Yeah, that's so good.
I prefer the regular one.
Really?
The Blood Orange is also very nice.
I think this one might be my favourite, though.
Yeah, this is probably the best one.
This is probably the most impressive flavour.
Mm.
Because it is salty and watermelon-y, and it just works so well. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys tried the trick where you, like, fry a watermelon like you do a steak, and apparently it takes on, like, a completely different texture?
No.
And apparently, it actually has like a steak-like texture when you grill watermelon.
Skin on or skin off?
Like you just have like like a triangle of watermelon, and then you just like that kind of thing, and then you just grill it like on a barbecue, and it like I haven't tried it, but this is what the internet tells me that's what happens.
Interesting.
Mm.
Okay, have to give that a go.
What wellness should you grill it to?
It's how you like your steak, basically. Yeah, but I've heard. There's been mixed reports, but I've heard that it does. The texture changes a lot to something close to steak. Whether people like that or not is like up for debate.
That sounds really weird.
Yeah,
it's interesting because it's like a lot of water content, so wouldn't a lot of it just evaporate?
Apparently, there's some sort of reaction or something inside it that's like counterintuitive, and it does something. I don't know. I'm no scientist.
Mm. So So I think the last time I had a ghost from overseas, apart from the Anderson Valley ones, was one that you gave me, Tom, the Freigeist mango ghost. That was awesome.
And that looked like mango juice.
It poured like mango juice. It looked like mango juice.
And it tasted like a mango gosa.
Yeah.
It was so good. It was so tasty, that one.
It was amazing. Willie hated it.
Really?
He was like, this isn't beer. Whatever.
Can we just clear up, Tom, correct pronunciation?
Gosa.
Pronunciation. Gosa. So Adrian is saying it wrong. Good. Okay.
What?
How does he say it?
He was saying ghost.
Oh, yeah, no, I've been switching, I think.
Yeah. The Germans pronounce the E at the end of the word. Yeah. So Gosa.
I thought that was the case. Yeah. So good to be back, Tom.
It is. It's very good to be back. It's
Oh, did you go somewhere?
Yeah, I went to Germany, actually.
Oh, wow.
So
interesting.
Yeah. Deutschland. I don't know. Yeah, listeners probably didn't notice I was gone. I don't know.
Only because we came out with like 8 episodes last year,
and I was still in one of them.
What did you guys think of the Bavarian Beer Cafe kind of rebranding themselves?
Okay, I think we should give them credit where credit's due. There was a lot of they got a lot of criticism about their previous branding and style.
Yep.
And I think we were pretty outspoken that we really didn't like the direction that their advertising was going. And they've changed course, and they're no longer focusing on breasts.
Yeah,
but to sell beer, so that's a positive. That's a win.
How much of that would have been their own doing, and how much of it would have been more sort of international branding that they'd adopted for the Australian market?
I mean, so to be fair, in Bavaria, you do find in those kind of traditional halls, all the girls are wearing dirndls, and they are very booby. Like the dirndls are just built to push up and create a lot of cleavage.
Yep.
So you do see that in Bavaria. Like, that is still something that happens. It's not just a cultural stereotype that's no longer appropriate. It is something that happens in Bavaria. It's a weird amount, but it still doesn't mean... It doesn't make it okay to do it here, necessarily. No. And having the waitresses in dirndls, that's one thing. But just having, like, ads plastered on the side of buses and billboards where it's literally just the boobs is the ad and beer. Like, that's the problem, I think. That's kind of the problem I have with it. And they were just, and they, you know, they were making awful, guess, awful sex puns and jokes, you know, just that they were using purely, like, sex to sell their beers, which they don't need to do because they actually have some all right beers. They have some shit beers as well, but...
Yeah.
And they actually have a fairly authentic feeling at the cafes. Not 100%, but, you know...
Well, there's far fewer Germans there, I find.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's just... That's but you do find that, you know, in like the big beer halls in Munich and stuff, it's not all Germans.
Okay.
That's
get some Austrians too.
Yeah, it's probably Australians probably in those beer halls. I remember going to those way back when.
That's I don't know. It's but now that they've publicly said that they are moving away from that branding to you know.
And they have.
And that's good.
But I think I get the feeling that their new branding is still fairly stereotyped.
Yeah, I think it's different stereotypes.
Yeah, but is that better though? Like, I guess it's slightly better. It's not sexist, but it's still
we've got a new beef now, right? Because they're really playing on the whole craft thing.
Yeah, see, that's now it's like credit where credit's due. I think it's fair to say, you know, that they might have gone to still something that's a bit stereotypical, but it's not. I don't think it's necessarily a dangerous stereotype or one that is, you know, like a harmful stereotype like they were kind of using before.
Mm.
So I think in whatever case, it's an improvement.
Yeah.
And you know, most of that's probably because of the amount of complaints they got about their advertising and they just do it. They're like, we don't want to deal with this anymore, but still credit where credit's due. They did change. Good. Good on them. Yeah, let's discuss the whole crafty Bavarian thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a thing.
No, no.
Like there are Bavarian craft breweries. There are a few of them. There are some doing some really cool stuff. Two that spring to mind for me the most would be Camber Bavaria, who they do a lot of great beer. And they actually, you might have heard there was a story that was floating around the beer scene a few months ago about a Bavarian brewery that was ordered to destroy a batch of milk stout because it's not Reinheitsgebot.
Right.
And that was those guys.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
They do some great stuff, and most of their beers are within those four ingredients. And you know, they do a really fucking kick-ass black IPA, which is probably my favorite of their beers, and some barrel-aged stuff. And but the whole idea of it, like, it's a crafty Bavarian, but you look at the styles, and it's a wheat beer, a lager, you know.
Yeah.
But it,
yeah, it's this is all about this interchangeable meaning of the word craft, though, right? Because to an Australian, ding, you know, moving away from 2Es and VB to something a little bit more exotic, even if that little bit more exotic is a massive German international brewery.
Oh, sure. And
it's kind of going a bit craftier, right?
Yeah, I did the exact same thing. Like when I was getting into craft beer, I used to go to the Bavarian Beer Cafe quite a lot and drink Hacker Shaw or, you know, Franziskaner. Kahner. Weinstefana, you know.
It's weird though that they're kind of pulling that angle. You know, they're brewing their, or supposedly brewing their own beers. I'm guessing it's contract.
Yeah, but apparently they have a German brewmeister as well.
But at the same time, they have like great examples of these traditional styles already.
Yeah.
In their bars.
Yeah.
They don't need this brand that's probably going to be inferior.
But the thing is that. Their market is, as Brad was saying, it's the people who like going there and who drink there are the people who don't want to have your 2Es new, your VB. They want to be a step above that, but not like fully into craft.
Yeah.
So this is their way of, and it's as I was saying, it's a stepping stone. Mm. Like that's where you go then after your mainstream Australian lager, you go to your mainstream European lager, and because that's a bit better, it's a bit more flavorful. And then from there, you then try and that's where you kind of move on from. So they're just trying to they're trying to keep the people into drinking their beers for longer instead of moving on to something else.
By making them feel a bit better about what they're drinking.
Yeah, and making, like, making, you know, them seem Australian craft, which...
I kind of see what you mean. Like, you know, people can try different stuff. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily better stuff, but different stuff. And that's always a draw. It's, I mean, it's certainly a draw with, you know, with craft beer drinkers. Just you know, getting those untapped badges.
And to be honest, I could, you know, I think Brad and I were trying to get us to actually record there, but someone vetoed that. That's
yeah. Well, I think two people vetoed it. I mean, look, I wouldn't have minded going to Una's or somewhere else, but the Bavarian Beer Cafe as a chain to me is just
don't one you like. Yeah, no, fair enough.
Dead to me. Don't want to go there anymore.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, we're not the target market, but
yeah,
yeah. I mean, look, I admit I've had good times there in the past, but just the way they've come out in the media.
How good would it be if they did have traditional, you know, Berliner Weisses there, and you know, stuff that you could actually go in and want to drink?
Well, so good
it would be, but that's first of all not Bavarian.
So so back to the camber thing. is it? Do they get ordered to do it because they're in a Bavarian brewer? So if they were like a Berlin brewer, it wouldn't have mattered.
So basically, the system is, and it's not quite this simple, but it comes down to. In Germany, you can apply for an exemption to the Reinheitsgebot, the purity law that says you can only have, you know, water, hops, malt, and yeast in your beer. You can apply for an exemption.
Okay.
And in most German states, you might get one. You know, if you apply for it, you'll probably get one. In Bavaria, you can apply for it. They just never grant them.
Right.
So what this brewery did is they made the beer and then applied for it. Well, it's not. I'm simplifying it a bit. But, you know, they didn't get the exemption. And then... they were ordered to destroy it because they're not allowed to. Basically, the Reinheitsgebot isn't actually its own law anymore, but it's more in the tax code. So to be taxed as beer, just like in Australia, to be classified as beer, you have to have some hops in it, I think. That's part of like how the Australian, you know, how they determine what's taxed as beer. In Germany, to be taxed as beer, you know, you have to follow the Reinheitsgebot unless you have the exemption. And so they weren't. And so they were like, well, can we be taxed as something else then? As a beer, what they call a beer Mischgetränk, which is a mixed beer drink, you know, like a Radler or something. But the Bavarian government were like, no, we don't think that's how it's going to work. So they were ordered to recall and destroy it.
Okay. How do you feel about that?
I think it's shit. I don't think that should be happening. The main reason why the Reinheitsgebot still has an influence over what beers can be made in Bavaria is because it's a huge marketing tool for those big Munich breweries, for Hofbräu, for Löwenbräu, for, okay, you know, for those guys who they use that as a big marketing thing. Like, we are, you know, we still brew under this law that's part of that we have, you know, so they don't want to get rid of it because that's part of their identity.
Mm.
And they have the power, essentially. They're the big breweries.
So is it that they just can't sell it, or are they just not allowed to actually make it?
Oh, I think you can. I don't know if you can make it. I'm not entirely sure what the home brewing laws are in Germany. I didn't see much home brewing when I was there, but I wasn't looking out for it so much. So I don't know.
Just thinking, rather than destroy it, could they just not just drink it themselves or give it to people?
Yeah. But what there was a tiny loophole that I was able to exploit in that the government ordered them to recall the milk stout. They didn't order them to recall the barrel-aged milk stout.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I tried the bourbon barrel-aged milk stout that they did, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds like they need to relocate out of Bavaria.
Yeah. I think what'll happen is in the future, I don't know how soon, but I think someone will challenge... either the Bavarian government or the German government in EU court.
Yeah.
Because it's fairly... It's considered that the Reinheitsgebot is actually against EU, like, competitive law. So...
Okay.
But it hasn't been challenged yet.
Right.
So it's still in effect. When it gets challenged, you know, maybe you'll see some change. But the big boys are fighting very hard against that, essentially.
Did you bring anything back with you?
I didn't bring any beer back with me.
Okay.
I had to pack my entire life into a suitcase.
It's fair enough.
My entire life is beer.
that's also a good point.
I did bring something back, which we'll probably try a bit later.
Cool.
Yeah.
In the meantime, why don't we talk about this current beer, which is pun laden.
I love this. I love Pun-tastic. This. This label. So this is the Big Shed Brewing. So Big Shed are in Brisbane?
South Australia.
South Australia. Yeah. That's right. Cole Shizzle Which Kolsch Isel. So I guess it's a Kolsch style.
Yeah, Kolsch-esque.
Yeah, so in between a pale and a pale ale and a lager. Yeah,
it does describe it as a German pale ale on the label.
Yeah, it does. And it's got this brilliant, like, German eagle styled as Barnsley, screaming into a microphone. And it says at the bottom...
Oh, okay, I didn't even notice
that. And it says at the bottom, Das letzte Aero von Sydney's almost gehen. So it's like, the last plane out of Sydney's almost gone. Which is, I do like that a lot. And the name's great. Kolsch Isel.
There's some puns in the...
Yeah, on the little description. It does say, you know, have a crack and see what you think. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. What's the sausage that could happen?
Yep.
Have you guys tried it yet? I haven't tried it yet.
I haven't had a sip of this. I went to Cologne. So for those who don't know, Kolsch, which is the style of beer, is pretty much only made in Cologne. And it actually means from Cologne. So it's a... I think the general thing is if it's got an umlaut on the O, so it's Kolsch, then it's from Cologne. And if it doesn't, it's brewed to that style outside. Okay. So like Four Pines Kolsch.
I think it's actually an appellation.
I don't know if it's an appellation.
But it might not be an official one, but no. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
The same way that lambics outside of Brussels or outside of the Seine Valley should not be called lambic.
No.
But like, you know, we'll get into that in another episode. Yeah, I'm sure we already have.
Yes. No, this is all right.
It's a 4.2% German pale ale. It's not going to be doing anything exciting.
That's true.
I think it's pretty refreshing. It's got that kind of hybrid style to it.
Yeah. I think it's got a bit more. It's got more body and flavor than like Four Pines Kolsch, for example.
Yeah.
I haven't had it for ages, so I can't really...
Yeah, maybe that's comment. Just from memory.
I did notice some in Brad's fridge, though.
Yeah, well, the father-in-law came to stay a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, sure.
And bought a case of Four Pines Kolsch and only drank about six bottles of it and left the rest here. So.
Look, it's not a bad, like, free beer.
Oh, I like it.
Like I said, free beers are the best beers.
Summer beer.
Well, my favourite beer is the one in my hand. That's, you know... Just in general.
Oh, this is your favourite beer,
isn't it? Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah. No. This is a little bit, I'd say, a bit richer than a Kolsch in Cologne.
Yeah.
Actually, the way they serve Kolsch is awesome. You basically, you order, and usually order 11 of them at a time.
Right.
For yourself?
You get a round. It's like a round thing, okay. Right? And they come out in this circular... A tray with 11 holes in it with a handle, and you just like pick that up and bring it over, and that's how they do Kolsch.
Is there a reason why it's 11?
I don't know.
Because footballers like to go down the pub.
Maybe.
That makes a lot of sense.
And what was also super interesting to me is that in Cologne you have Kolsch, like that is the beer, you know. And if you're not drinking that, then fuck you. And then in Dusseldorf, which is basically the same city, like they are, it's like a 10-minute ride on the metro from like the center of Cologne to the center of Dusseldorf, maybe 15 minutes. Like,
is it alt beer in Dusseldorf?
Yeah. And then I was staying in a hostel in Dusseldorf, and on the fridge in the hostel, it says, you know, if you put your beer in here, label it. If it's Kolsch, we're going to throw it out.
Which do you prefer as a style?
Alt beer. Alt beer is darker and richer. Yeah. Like it's a stronger.
I quite like both styles.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I mean, I would consider this to be far more kind of fruity, pale ale-y than I would expect a Kolsch to taste.
I think this is a little bit more.
I consider Kolsch to be kind of a bit more lagery flavoured. Yeah. And
I'd agree with that for the most part. Yeah.
Actually, it's interesting that you mentioned the German dark beers because... Oh, Lee's just showing us a
producer photo. Producer's just showing us a wreath of Kolsch.
Yeah. That's what it looks like. It's, you know.
Interesting.
That's quite impressive.
Yeah.
I just like how you have to find 10 other people to drink with if you want to go for a beer.
Or just drink 11 of them yourself. They are smaller glasses. They're like 100 mil or so. Like
100 mil? That's tiny.
Or like maybe 150, I think, litres it say there.
No.
No?
Okay.
They are smaller. Maybe two. I think they're a bit smaller than a midi here. So right. Maybe 2, 10, maybe something like that.
Okay. That's completely against what you would expect, right? From the imaging that you see, you know, the big steins of beer.
Well,
and...
Unless it's Oktoberfest or a similar festival, you don't really drink a litre at a time. You'd have five. It'll always be 500 mil at a time, basically.
Yeah.
So always a pint, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, back to what I was saying. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you mentioned the German dark beers because that's like, you know, Dunkels and stuff, pretty much what got me on the slippery slope of, you know, getting into more interesting beers because, you know, I remember going to, you know, the Bavarian Beer Cafe or the Lohenbräu. I'm not pronouncing that right.
Löwenbräu.
Wow, we were well out.
Yeah.
No, I actually know how to pronounce it properly. I just don't like saying it.
Because no, Löwenbräu. Yeah. You know, let's go to the Löwenbräu.
Because if I say it wrong, but it's close, it's worse. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I went to the Löwenbräu.
No.
Yeah, exactly. The Löwenbräu.
Löwenbräu.
And I just remember like just having Dunkels and yeah, all these dark beers and going, whoa, flavor.
Mm. Yeah. It's a similar
experience to going to the Belgian Beer Cafe and trying the more interesting stuff there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think I was very similar. I think I think it was the Hacker Shore Sternweisse, which is like a Dunkelweisse, you know, that was I remember drinking that at the Pump House with Liam was here, he'd agree, you know, he'd probably tell you I drank so much of that. It was in a swing top bottle.
Yeah.
And we used to keep all the bottles and then someone took them home to homebrew in.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm interested, just going back to this German style pale ale, mm-hmm. that's the South Australian interpretation. Do you get this kind of international influence coming into the beers much? I mean, you talk about, you know, the traditional Kolsch and the one city beer.
Yeah.
But do they get brewed outside of Cologne first and foremost?
Kolsch, not really. No.
And do you get these kind of, I'm you know, wary of saying bastardized styles, but it is kind of like, you know, American style pale ale creeping into some of the more traditional styles. Is that happening over there, or is it all fiercely traditional?
It depends on the brewery. The vast majority of breweries, especially in Bavaria, because that's where I can speak on with some knowledge, is in Bavaria. Cologne, there might be smaller breweries that have a bit more of a you know,
yeah.
influence. I just didn't find them necessarily. There was one in Cologne actually that did their Kolsch was a, you know, but I wouldn't call that a traditional brewery. Like that's a fairly newer craft or, you know, microbrewery instead of a traditional brewery. In Bavaria, the vast majority of breweries are these traditional breweries, and they do a Helles and they do a Weizen,
right,
and they do a Dunkel, and then basically between December and April they do a Bock. Okay. Like that's the, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you meet many sort of real beer enthusiasts?
There from were a Germany? Few. So in the town I lived in, there was actually a little craft beer store.
Yeah.
So I worked there for a bit because, you know, I'm not one to pass up working at some new place.
Beer related. Yeah.
And even before that, I met a few people. So there was a one of my good friends, Toralf from Dresden, he was into his beer, but you know, he liked trying beers from around the world that were different, that weren't just your traditional.
Yeah, that was going to be my question.
German
yeah.
stuff.
Is there a big interest in the international?
Yeah, and then there was my friend Felix from Berlin. He was also a big craft beer fan. Okay. We did do with Felix, myself, and my friend Joe, who's actually from Newcastle and is working as a brewer in a Bavarian brewery.
Okay.
We did a Bavarian Helles blind tasting side by side, where we did like 20 Bavarian Helles lager side by side, and you'd be surprised at the variation between them. And these are breweries that are all very close together. You know, they probably most of them be using very similar water, and there were differences. And you know, there were ones that we liked a lot and ones we didn't. The one we liked the most was actually when we poured it, we looked at it and we go, that's more of a Märzen than a Helles, but you know, that's
yeah
I say that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on that note, why don't we take a break and then we'll actually drink a German beer.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good idea.
All right,
excellent.
Sessionable.
Wir sind zurück.
What does that mean?
We're back.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
You probably could have guessed that one, Adrian.
Yeah.
I'm not good at guessing.
And we're actually drinking a German beer now.
Woo!
And this is actually from very close to where I was living. This is the Schneiderweisse, Unser Original Tap 7. And it's a wheat beer, Weissbier. This is their flagship wheat beer, basically. But like the color of it is, it's almost a Dunkelweisse. It's quite it's like a rich dark amber.
Yeah. Mm. Great nose.
Oh. I love this beer. This is I drank a lot of this beer over the last year.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was on tap at my my local pub, Murphy's Law.
Wow.
And I drank, you know, I'd come in and they'd see me walking down the stairs and they'd be halfway through pouring.
Pour one. Yeah.
That's delightful.
It is. This is such a... And Schneiderweiss is probably known for beer nerds more for their Bock, Aventinus, and the Ice Bock version of that as well.
Yep.
But just their standard wheat beer is...
It's pretty solid.
Really fucking good wheat beer.
It brings back memories of those Dunkels that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Dunkelweisses.
It gets me wondering why, you know, the wheat beer that we have over here, to me, it doesn't match up to this in any way, shape, or form, and I wonder why that might be.
Well, I think they usually try to brew like the lighter wheat beer styles rather than this kind of darker ones.
The most common examples of Bavarian wheat beers that we get in Australia are what...
Hefeweizens.
Yeah, and when this is a Hefeweizen, it's just a very different one.
Yeah.
The most common ones you see are like Franziskaner or Erdinger, and they are pretty... Or Schoffelhofer.
You say that with rue.
And they're pretty... bland and standard. There's not much to them, and even most Bavarians I know like weren't drinking that in terms of wheat beer.
No,
some were.
So it's kind of like the kind of macro beer of wheat beers.
Yeah, well, it is. Well, and they are owned by Franziskaner is owned by Paulaner, maybe, or one of them. You know, one of the big Munich breweries. And I mean, no, I found most people when they were drinking Weizen, they'd be drinking their local Weizen. So. Because every local brewery does one, so you drink the local one instead of the ones that we get here, the big imported ones.
Okay, but this one kind of stood up, did it? As
a... Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I was super lucky that this, and I'd had this before going to Germany, and I liked it. And then being in Germany, it just, there's something about this is the beer that I am already now. I just feel like I'm sitting back at the pub watching some football, drinking, you know, pints and pints of this.
Yeah,
this was my year, basically. And it was fantastic. And then if it was a particularly good night or a particularly bad night, you know, I might upgrade to the Aventinus, the Doppelweizenbock.
Yep.
This was my go-to, absolutely.
So would you drink this by the pint?
Yep. 500 mil every time.
Nice.
I did try their alcohol-free once, and that was not a good idea.
Alcohol-free beers are weird.
I have had one that I liked.
Really?
Yeah, and by alcohol-free, in Germany, it can be, I think if it's below... 1% or 0.5% or something. It's alcohol free.
Yep.
So this was called the Fry PA, because Fry means free in German. Yeah. So Fry PA.
Clever.
And this is the one that was actually, it was my Australian friend Joe from Newcastle. He was actually, this was his brewery. Not his brewery, but he worked on this beer.
Yeah.
And it was actually really good.
Yeah.
Like it was a nice hoppy, it was like hop water, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
But it had a decent, you know, body to it for something with no alcohol.
Mm.
That was it. I was considering bringing a bottle of that back because I actually I quite like that. There were actually there was a hopped lemonade that was like in all the shops while I was over there as well.
Okay,
yeah, it was okay. It wasn't particularly bitter though, so it was just like, and it was like flavor of hops, but it was all like flavor of Bavarian hops.
Yeah.
So like SARS, and you're just like, yeah,
yeah.
Should we wrap up and do some recommendations?
Yeah, I think that'd be nice.
I'd recommend something German related, but I haven't really thought about it, so I won't.
I don't think I'm going to recommend anything German related. Just, I mean, as a general recommendation, I would recommend going to Germany. Mm. It is a beautiful country, and everyone there is very nice.
Yeah.
Well, not everyone, but you know, the vast majority of people that I met were lovely and willing to help you out, and you know, just it was a fantastic year, and it's a really cool country to visit.
Actually, that'll be my beer related recommendation. And if you go to Berlin, check out Hopfenreich, which is
probably one of the best beer bars in Germany. Yeah,
pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet. They kind of focus on the more eclectic styles. So they had like at least a few Freigeist beers in there.
They had a few sours on tap, a few, you know,
American style, and German breweries. Styles as well. Yeah. So, yeah, that was really cool. And their tap fonts are like made out of just weird old shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. Brad, do you have any recommendations of any sort?
You know what? I've really not been drinking much beer lately. I know it's surprising to say, but I've been quite busy and I've had visitors over and it's just kind of stunted my exciting beer drinking. But probably the thing that I've enjoyed most over the last couple of weeks was the Lasseren tap takeover at the Royal Albert. You know, some of those Lasseren beers.
They'll still be on tap for a while.
They had three or four of the limited kegs. I don't know if any of those are still on Tom, but 20 litre specials that, you know, certainly New South Wales is almost impossible to find, and some of those were really good. So yeah, if you get to see any of those. They're not just all about the praline. The rest of their range is mm-hmm. really good too. So
I think it was the beer Agrumes was my favorite. Mm. Which okay. was like a,
I don't think I had any when I was.
It was like a dirty wheat.
Oh, that was
thing. It was
beautiful.
Like sour, a little bit sour, very yeah. citrusy. Really like a lighter wheat than this. More of a wheat beer than a wheat beer.
I remember commenting at the time that there was so much going on that it probably shouldn't have worked as a
yeah,
single
but
beer,
did.
But for it some was, reason it just great. Did. It was so really that, nice.
I think that'll be coming back on tap soon.
Okay,
good. But by the time this episode's out, who knows?
Yeah, yeah, too right. So, La Sirene.
Yeah, nice. I think my beer recommendation is not German at all. It's the Colonial Small Ale. Have you guys had that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I fucking love that beer.
They have it in the fridge in tinnies at the Little Guy.
Yeah, so same at the Albert.
It's one of those smashable, yeah. sessionable
and
beers.
How good is that can?
It is a good can.
Yeah,
it's an awesome can. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
one of those, it's a can where the whole top comes off.
Yeah.
So it's an open lid can, and so you like you don't need a glass for that. You can just drink it, get your nose in there.
It's so good.
It's so good. So that's probably my
I think Liam's recommended that beer in the past as well. Okay. He's a big advocate
yeah,
of it as
I'm
well.
I'm pretty sure he has, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's cheap as well,
yeah,
which is awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
For non-beer, I'm going to recommend... I'm not really going to recommend it, but I want everyone to watch it so I can talk about it. Because it's just a really weird movie called The Strange Color of Your Body's Tears. It's a Belgian kind of experimental horror. It's a callback to like the Italian giallo style horror movie.
I'll watch it.
It's so weird.
It sounds dreadful.
You might think it's dreadful. I don't know. I think it's going to split a lot of people, but just watch it and let me know what you think.
I think it's going to split a lot of people if a lot of people watch it.
Yeah. And if they even listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know. Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not. But, yeah. So, at me, at Adrian Poor, if you're going to talk about it, let me know what you think.
Well, that's a very interesting one, Adrian, I must say.
That's probably one of the weirdest recommendations we've had on the podcast.
My non-beer recommendation is also quite unusual, and I don't know if any of you guys are even aware of this. I'm wearing the bracelet here that I got after I did the experience, but it's called Sea Bob, and it's this little...
So you just go and visit a guy called Bob?
No. It's this little motorized jetpack. That okay. you kind of hang on to in the water, and
those.
It pulls
it's
you
the
through
water
the water. Yeah,
one, right?
So it pulls yeah. you through the water, and you can kind of duck dive down underneath and go pulling yourself along the bottom of the sea. And I did this. I did this in Hayman Island on the reef. It was absolutely fantastic fun. Apparently, these things retail at about $30,000. They're like more than a family sedan. But
so just go out and buy one.
Right. Well, well, if you find somewhere, I should have done a bit more research before the show to see where they were. But
I'm pretty sure that's not allowed.
Yeah, that's true, yeah, yeah. But if I assume that they are in other places around Australia and not just up on the reef, but it was about $200, I think, for an hour to go around, and it was so worth the money.
That's
it was
really cool.
It was so much fun.
Wow.
Really, really good.
Okay,
they actually go quite quick through the water as well.
Okay.
Yeah, Sea Bob.
My recommendation is it's for an album. It's an album that I listened, probably my album of the year last year. I listened to it so many times. It's a Broadway cast recording of the musical Hamilton.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah. I think Adrian might have seen it coming.
Yeah, I saw it coming.
Yeah. I know a lot of people switched off as soon as I said Broadway cast recording, but it is...
Not me.
It is so good. And even if you're not into musicals, this is probably going to switch a lot of people off as well. It's biographical about the life of Alexander Hamilton, one of the USA founding fathers.
Yep.
And it's... The whole musical is written by this guy called Lin-Manuel Miranda, who stars as Hamilton in the cast recording. And it's a kind of a blend of styles between like hip-hop, pop, just normal, like, you know, Broadway musical
show
style.
Tunes.
Pardon? Show tunes.
Yeah.
And it just works so well. And the story is just incredible. So the life of Alexander Hamilton was amazing.
Where did you see it?
I've never seen it.
Okay.
I've only listened to the soundtrack.
Right.
It's on Broadway, but it's like sold out for the next 10 years or something. But it's similar to Les Mis. It's a sung through musical, so everything's in song. So the cast recording, you get the whole story. You're not just listening to the songs. You get the whole experience. So it's like an audio book with where they're singing and and it's I've listened to the whole thing, more times than I can count. Like, I just love it.
Wow.
It's so good. So that's my recommendation. Okay. And at least give the first couple of songs a go, because you'll know pretty soon if you're into it or not. But I love it.
I'm looking forward to your podcast about it, Tom.
Yep.
That has to be the weirdest, most random set of recommendations we've ever done. That is incredible. But yeah, no, good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's not, you know, don't say that we're all about beer, right?
No, we've got our other interests. And
so, before we finish up, why don't we try this thing that you
let's give that a little go,
Tom. You didn't bring any beer back, do you?
No.
You didn't bring any beer back, but you've brought a beer spirit.
It is a beer, so it is essentially distilled Schlenkerler Rauch beer. We've had Schlenkerler Rauch beer on the podcast before.
We have. Yep.
That was actually the one that I was drinking during your live episode when it was 6 o'clock in the morning for me, because it tastes like bacon.
Sensible choice. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that was I don't think we should even use shot glasses. I think we should just use regular glasses.
I don't have shot glasses.
Do you have any old-fashioned glasses?
It's like small little water glasses.
I have wine glasses.
Do you have wine glasses? just do wine
pint glasses.
Just do wine glasses.
We could just do a swig out of the bottle.
Yeah. Each, yeah. Dibs first.
Okay, so this is what I brought back. I did not bring back any beer. The only liquid I brought back was the Echt Schlenkerler Rauchbier Edelbrand, which is essentially distilled Schlenkerler Rauch beer. So a distilled smoke beer. It's a white spirit. It's not barrel aged at all. It's just essentially schnapps made from beer.
Okay.
You don't get a lot of the smoke on the aroma, but it's definitely there in the flavor.
Oh yeah, it is smoky.
Oh. I get a bit on the aroma too.
Little bit, but you mostly just get... I get heat on the aroma. I don't get much in the way of flavor, just
goodness
booze.
Me.
Wow. I get it in the flavor. I get it in the palate.
So this is 40%?
Yeah.
Yeah?
God, the burn.
It is, yeah.
Really burns.
But I find this actually to be super smooth for what it is.
I think it's pretty smooth.
Yeah. So I got this from the brewery in Bamberg.
So yeah, I'd mix this with Coke or something.
Craft Coke, right?
Oh. Well, actually, what they do in Germany, they do drink Coke, but what they actually drink more of, it's called Spezi or Cola Mix, and it's half Coke, half Fanta. That's like their
bloody weirdos.
Yeah, that's their that.
Interesting, that, actually.
And Apfelschorle, which is basically like, you know, apple cider, like soft cider. Yeah. So non-alcoholic apple cider. Yeah. Like apple cider, but it's a lot less sweeter. So it's basically apple juice and sparkling mineral water together. But there's the ratio of apple juice to sparkling mineral water is a lot less sweet than what we'd have here, for example. Okay. Which I actually really like that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. But the Coke Fanta thing is just weird.
The Coke Fanta thing is, it is, and the first time you have it, like, you think, because it's a lot of bottles will just say cola mix, and you're like, oh, so with cola, and then you drink it, you're like, and it's like a weird murky, you know, color, because it's
like
a mix.
Swamp water.
Yeah, what does it taste like? What's like the flavor profile of that?
Sugar.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Fair enough.
But again, probably less sweet than Coke, because, and a lot of these will be made by small manufacturers. You know, they are like craft soft drinks, and a lot of breweries will do one as well. Like,
all right. Interesting.
And yeah, you get like kind of orange flavors and Coke flavors, and yeah. There were some really good ones as well, which were like not just Fanta, but they were like, you know, a bit more of a mix with like something along the lines of, you know, like the San Pellegrino soft drinks.
Yeah.
Like a mix of that and Coke, you know.
Okay.
So get a little bit more of like a real nice, like nice citrus flavor.
Sounds like you got to drink quite a bit of soft drink while you're out there. I'm surprised that you had anything other than beer.
I drank a lot of beer. I drank a lot of soft drink. Didn't drink much malt wine. I had a lot of spirits as well. A lot of whiskey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any German spirits?
I had a German single malt, a Bavarian single malt that was okay. It was pretty good. It wasn't like knock your socks off, but it wasn't bad. I drank the whole bottle easily. I went to a whiskey tasting where the opening whiskey was, they had collected IPAs from all around the region. So IPAs from as many of the local craft breweries as they could, and put them all together and distilled that and aged it in sherry barrels. That was pretty special. Like, that was an IPA whiskey, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
Aged in sherry barrels. So
that sounds great.
That was actually really, really good. There were some German gins. I think I might have tried them, but they weren't. Again, nothing to cry home about.
Okay.
Sessionable. All right. You can catch us on Twitter. I'm at Adrian Poor, like I said earlier. Tom?
I am at A Study in Beer.
Brad? I am at The Dubel.
And you can catch us all at Sessionable Pod, the Twitter
accounts. And like us on Facebook.
And on Facebook.
Yeah,
on
Facebook.
Well.
Like us on Facebook. We should start doing more with the Facebook.
Yeah, we should.
Also, just before we sign off, a quick plug. Adrian and I are starting a new podcast, a film podcast. I think it's currently called This Podcast Is Not Yet Rated.
Yeah.
That title might change. So look out for that. And yeah.
Do you say hasta la vista, baby? Or is that how Germans say
it? No, he's Austrian.
He is Austrian. Okay, that's the Austrian way to say it.
Yeah, that is the traditional Austrian way.
Yep.
the way most people would say it is just tschüss.
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 Auf Wiedersehen.